At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
There's a thread on Reddit right now that has gone viral, and it asks you, what food is delicious in small amounts, but gross in big amounts? So funny, because when you think about it, there's certain things that are so good, but after you've been going at it for a while, you're like, ugh.
Okay, yeah. So wait a minute. You have to tell me what gross means. Are we just talking about being bloated and full like I can't move because that comes from eating too much of anything? Or are we just like, you know what? At some point, it actually starts to turn your stomach.
It actually starts to turn your stomach if you eat it for too long.
Okay.
So on the top of the list, number three, frosting. It's true. Mm-hmm. Frosting at first is delicious. On one cupcake, you're like, I could eat three of these. But then once you reach the fourth cupcake, you're like, nope, that was a mistake.
Yeah. Okay.
Number two, cereal. Someone said the first bowl of cereal makes you want a second bowl. The second bowl makes you realize you didn't want a second bowl. I disagree. I could always go for at least two bowls of cereal if given the opportunity.
Here's the thing. If nobody's around, I don't eat my cereal in a cereal bowl. I eat in a mixing bowl. Mm-hmm. It's a massive bowl of cereal. Half the box, really.
And the number one thing that they say is delicious in a small amount but gross in a big amount is cheesecake. I mean, I could see that. That could get heavy after a while.
At a certain point, right? Anything that's super rich like that is going to affect you. With me, it's greasy stuff, right? So I love the first couple helpings of anything that's greasy. I mean, if I've been out the night before, it could be my miracle cure the next day, as a matter of fact. But let's say I'm eating like pork rinds, pulled pork sandwiches or something like that. When I get to the third one, I feel like a pig because I feel the grease coming out of my pores at that point. Like I'm going to have a heart attack right then. My arteries are closing.
I have celiac disease and I also have another condition first called CSID. So I am, get this, and remember, not by choice, I am gluten-free, dairy-free, and sucrose-free. So sucrose-free includes a lot of sugars.
What a hippie you are.
It's so ridiculous, but you know, whatever. Stay alive, you know?
Yeah, there's that.
Right. So there's not a whole lot of treats I can eat, but I found this one company that makes their allergy version of Sour Patch Kits.
Okay, like allergy free.
Right.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have any of those things. And even though it tastes like real sugar, I don't know what magic stuff they put in it. I'm sure it's not good for me, but whatever. Right. It checks all the boxes, so fine. But if you ever had too many Sour Patch Kids, because you're so excited to get something sweet, you start. And you go.
You go rapid fire.
And then you make that conscious decision in your mind that I'm going to eat this whole bag.
Right.
Like, I'm just, at this point, like, there's no stopping. There's no stopping me now. I'm going to go through the whole bag. And then you get to, like, the last three, and you're like, this was a mistake.
But you're like, I'm not going to keep three.
Right.
So you got to eat them.
Uh-huh.
I'm the same way with a family-sized peanut M&Ms.
I'd never been so sick in my life. And it's like, I had to like chug water to make it go away. And so I would say all those sour candies, you probably want to limit yourself. And eggnog. Eggnog is always good that first glass. But after that, you're like, oh, what am I drinking?
That is a perfect example.
One in three children worldwide are now nearsighted. Now, why is this? Dr. Daniel Sear, he's a pediatric ophthalmologist at Stony Brook Medicine. Dr. Sear, why is this?
Doc, this sounds crazy, like a plague or something.
It kind of is. It's all of the myopic adults having myopic children. Kids who are born to parents who are also myopic, nearsighted, have a tendency to be nearsighted and myopic themselves.
Wow.
So it's from mom and dad, firstly. And then the second thing that's an issue is the increased amount of near work that kids are doing at school and at home. Seen a huge increase this with the pandemic. And we have also seen a huge increase in the incidence of myopia. And that's because with all these kids doing so much focused near work, it actually drives the eye to become more nearsighted.
So this isn't because they're on their screens all the time. This is just because they're looking at their work too closely. Am I understanding that correctly?
No.
So okay. So they can't get away from the work at school now. Mm-hmm. So in conjunction with all of the time they're spending on their phones, on their iPads, on their computers, all of that combined equals more near work and more nearsightedness.
So, Doc, first and foremost, what's with all these nearsighted people having so many more babies than everybody else? I mean, we're talking about a third of kids. You're talking about 30% here. Is that right?
Myopic people are generally have been found to be smarter than the general population. Oh. So maybe people are just attracted to the intelligence. I'm not sure.
You know what it is? They can't see each other past 5 feet, Anna, so they just hold on to each other, and therefore babies are made. I mean, I think I've read that book.
So Dr. Sierra, you know, my older daughter, her vision is not great. Oddly, she's nearsighted. My husband is farsighted. I have perfect vision because I am perfect.
But you know that means she's smarter than all of you.
No, that means that she got it from me, right? That means that it's my side of the family that she got it?
It's possible. You know, if you have other nearsighted people in your family on your side, that it's quite possible that it's from your side.
So, you know, we didn't know that she had a problem with her sight. And it wasn't until she went to kindergarten and the nurse said, you know, she can't see, right? And I was like, What do you mean she can't see? And they're like, no, you need to bring her to an eye doctor. And it wasn't until the nurse caught it, I actually brought her to an eye doctor and realized it. How can you tell if your child is having a vision problem?
Sometimes it's just like, as you said, you will have no idea. Kids don't complain because that's how they see. And to them, that's normal. They've always been, you know, a little nearsighted and it doesn't bother them. Doing those screenings with your pediatrician, with the nurse at school, those are the most important things. But also, if you're seeing your kids squinting, rubbing their eyes while they're doing lots of work, watching iPads, doing things on the phone, if you see them getting closer to objects, you know, closer to the TV, those are all things that can be signs, but not always. Kids do like to just get close to things, but those are things that should kind of spark a little bit of thought of maybe we should get the eyes checked.
And you probably shouldn't have ignored her walking into walls for 3 to 5 years before that.
Well, Dr. Siri was wild. Like, she got her glasses, and I'll never forget, like, she walked into her, like, the hallway, and she's like, is that my bed? You guys can see my bed. Yeah. I was like, oh my gosh.
She was blind. Yeah. I mean, it was so bad.
I didn't know you're supposed to bring your kids for eye exams. Like, I thought they just did it at the pediatrician because they kind of do the general screening there.
I recommend that all kids be seen by an eye doctor at least once before starting school, even if you don't fail a vision screening with your pediatrician, because kids can find lots of creative ways to kind of game the exam, even though they're not knowing that they're doing so. They want to get the test right, so they will find ways to look around the occluder to get the answers that the people want them to get.
Dr. Daniel Sierra, pediatric ophthalmologist at Stony Brook Medicine, thank you so much. Today may be one of the most confusing holidays of the entire year. Do you get it off? Are your kids off? It all depends on where you are and what you're celebrating. And it's always been fascinating to me. Today is Columbus Day.
Well, is it?
Not everywhere. Only 16 states still celebrate Christopher Columbus and the quote-unquote discovery of the Americas in 1492.
Is that right? What are those states? I mean, I'd like to see that list. You're going to have to send it to me sometime.
I will. But not every single one of those states are celebrating. Others are celebrating Indigenous Peoples Day, which is Native American Day. Unless you're in California and Nevada, because they celebrated Native American Day on the fourth Friday in September. What? It's a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, growing up, it was Columbus Day, and it was the celebration of the discovering of the Americas. But then they figured out maybe he wasn't right about everything he said.
Maybe he wasn't the best guy.
And maybe he didn't do a lot of very nice things. And then there was the celebration of Indigenous Peoples Day. And 19 states and more than 130 cities now celebrate that in place of Columbus Day, including Washington, D.C., which, you know, D.C. is District of Columbia, which is kind of named after Christopher Columbus.
You know, it seems to me like there's some places where they just don't want to say publicly what the choice is, so they're celebrating both.
It's Columbus Indigenous Day. And some states, some schools have school today, and some don't. Most stores are open today, but some banks are open and some aren't. Is the stock market open? Yup. But there's no mail. There's no mail today.
This is so confusing. I don't even know if my bank is open today.
It's so wild. And trying to figure it out is very, very complicated. My kids are off, but I'm not.
Okay.
But my husband is. So this always seems to be one of those things where you're trying to figure out what to do, what to celebrate. You know, my parents are from Italy. Yeah. So as far as they're concerned, it's Italian Heritage Day.
Right. And you're going to the Christopher Columbus Parade.
Yeah. Well, right? New York City's Christopher Columbus Parade is expecting over 25,000 people today.
Wow.
There's 22 new floats. There's going to be a million marching bands. So, again, wherever you are, celebrate maybe. Something. You're going to celebrate something or other. I don't know. Here's the one thing a lot of people are celebrating, though. SpaceX pulled off its first with their latest launch. Now, SpaceX crew successfully launched the giant Starship rocket, and then they pulled it. They plucked it right out of the air using giant, large metal arms.
It was pretty awesome, actually. You watch that video. It's incredible.
They call it chopsticks. Listen to them as this was successfully being done.
We have liftoff.
Is one of the most gorgeous things I've ever seen in my entire life.
Booster coming in. See how fast this vehicle is moving on the left-hand side.
I don't know about you, but we're losing our stuff over here.
Yep, very exciting things.
Imagine that rocket is 400 feet tall. 400 feet tall, that thing. And it's the whole way that we're going to get to Moon and Mars and all that. And now that we're grabbing it, it's just the fifth test flight. And this is something that's never been done before. The rocket comes back down to the pad and the chopsticks reach out and grab the thing. I mean, it just makes it all reusable so much quicker and saves so much more money.
Yeah, and you've never been able to reuse rockets. That's never. Why it's such a big deal. But to me, I think it's so crazy that there's just these giant chopsticks that reach out into the space and just pluck things out of the sky.
I mean, SpaceX has done this now. They've got rockets that they've reflown 26 to 30 times.
Yep.
Again, this was never being done before SpaceX got on the scene. So pretty wild stuff that they're doing over there.
SpaceX says they're sending people to the moon. And since they're making chopsticks to pluck things out of the sky, it may only be a matter of time.
Believe them. Have you ever negotiated a car sale, Anna?
I'm doing it right now. Well, we're in the midst of having to buy two cars in the next 4 to 5 months. It's really difficult because you never know what you can get away with.
I mean, well, this is the thing, right? So I'm going to buy a used vehicle right now for the business. Like, how is it that you can get any money off whatsoever? Because I just feel like the price is there. And then you say, I'd like to pay this. And they go, ha, well, the car costs this.
I have no negotiating tactics. They give me a price and I say, that's too high, do better. And then I hope that they go back and talk to whatever magical being is behind the curtain and they come back with a lower price.
Mm. My son once had 17 vehicles in 1 year.
That doesn't seem like good things.
It's not normal.
No.
No. Mm-hmm. And he buys equipment all the time for his business. So I asked him what he thought was the best way to negotiate a price.
But I'll pretend I'm the owner. 9,000. You pretend you're you.
Looks like it needs some work. I'll do $7,500.
$7,500? That's crazy. The blue book on this thing is $95. I'm giving you a deal.
That's what I'm offering. Take it or leave it.
Anna, have you ever told anybody take it or leave it on anything in any conversation ever?
Only on Facebook Marketplace where it's not to their face. You know what? Like, she's like, listen, that's the price. You want it or not?
And it's a difference of like $5, though, usually.
Of course.
You got to be prepared to walk. Has anybody ever called you once you've left?
Yeah, I've went back and bought after, and I've had people come back and buy also.
I sent an email about a vehicle 2 days ago, and that dealership has nonstop, like literally been sending me 7 messages a day right now. And I'm not comfortable negotiating, but maybe if I just hold out long enough, they'll be like, wait a minute, we changed our mind. Come get it for free.
I don't think you're ever going to get a car for free, but Steve is an expert in the car industry.
There's got to be a few things that we could still try.
Absolutely. I mean, if it seems too good to be true, it definitely is. Like, if you see a car that's thousands less, when you go to the dealership, you're going to have to expect that they have a bunch of hidden fees. So the price ends up being the same, and you just wasted a couple-hour trip getting down there.
What fees are reasonable? And I don't mean dollar amounts for dealerships, but what should somebody expect to see on a line item, right? Because I hear some places you can refuse them, other places not. Like, what is that?
So some of them are negotiable. Like, there's a dealer conveyance fee that's, it's standard across dealerships, but the prices differ. They say it's negotiable, but it's kind of like if you register your own vehicle, you'd save a few bucks, which ends up never being worth it because who wants to go to the DMV to save, you know, $25 bucks?
Right. You just want to drive off at that point.
You know, exactly.
What fees, if you see them, it's immediately a red flag?
There's some strange fees out there. I've seen transportation fees. If it doesn't say dealer conveyance fee, and there's another item that a lot of dealerships do. It's VIN etching. It's literally etching your VIN number into the glass and sometimes the panels of the vehicle. If you're financing, it ends up being like $3 a month, but it acts as an insurance policy. So if your vehicle gets stolen, you get like $2,500 bucks above and beyond what your insurance pays. Kind of worth it just in case, especially with the rise of.
Yeah, but if everybody's doing it, why am I paying you for it? Right?
Well, that's because we're doing it. That's why you're paying for it.
No, not like.
You don't do it for free.
No, I told you, Steve, I'm negotiating here. That's it. You're already doing it. You're doing it because you want to do it. I didn't ask you to do it.
Yeah.
Undo it.
One last question. Do you think it's a good idea to buy the service vehicles, like the ones they used as loaners? Because me and my husband did.
Oh, absolutely.
that's probably one of the better vehicles you can find and buy, because it's been at our dealership the whole time. It's been serviced by us. Pretty much a brand new car, and a lot of times you can still qualify for the incentivized rates from the factory. I find that most people respect when they're not using somebody else's vehicle. I mean, rentals are another story, but if they're our customers and they're coming here.
Yeah, that's true. They don't want to be the one.
We sold them the vehicle. They don't want to come back and be like, hey, you know, I'm sorry I trashed your car.
Listen, I think it was a great deal for you and your husband. It was just a little bit odd when it said courtesy vehicle on the back window and people kept getting into it at stoplights. That's inconvenient. You know, other than that, the price you paid was excellent.
Do you think when you're dating someone, you should split everything? How about the first date? Let's start there. So, Raven, last week there was a message on our text line, and it was from a woman that said, do you think you should split the check when you go out with someone for the first time? Mm. And then she continued and she wrote, maybe I'm old-fashioned, but I think a man should pay for a woman. And I don't know. I mean, we've had this conversation a million times before. Yeah. Have things changed? Is there a different way to court someone? It's all different now.
You know, it's funny. Like, for some people, this is an immense thing, right? Like, they're focused on it. They want to know. They're thinking about it ahead of time or whatever. And for me, I don't think it would be that big of a deal, right? Mm-hmm. You just offer to pay at the end. But maybe you're a clown. If you're dating a bunch of different people and you're always offering to pay for everything, maybe that makes you dumb, right?
So, but then, Raven, I saw this interview and mm-hmm. I was like, oh, okay. So, Kayla Nicole is Travis Kelce's ex-girlfriend. Now, it cannot be easy to be the ex of a guy who's currently dating the most famous woman in the world, Taylor Swift.
That's a fair statement.
Now, whether you like Taylor Swift or not, you know who she is. And his ex, Kayla, has gotten so much hate. And I didn't really understand why, because people are allowed to have exes. Date other people.
Not Travis Kelce.
No, okay.
No, he's not.
Now, one of the rumors about why they broke up in the first place is that Travis is cheap and he wouldn't pay for her lifestyle. And she was asked about it during an interview, and this kind of changed my opinion of her.
Do I look like anybody that would split anything?
So you guys broke up at that point because...
No, this is the question. Do I look like I would go 50-50 on bills?
No.
Okay.
I mean, what does that look exactly? I'm sorry.
Who says that out loud?
50-50 on bills. If we're talking like, you know, the apartment or whatever, we're definitely going 50-50 on that. First date check, maybe a little bit different.
Well, I was like, what are you, lady? You just said that out. Like, do I look like the type of woman that would go 50-50 on bills? I'm like, oh.
I know.
I mean, you were just dating. And then she goes on and she says.
But I think that to each his own, if people like to split their bills with their man, I think that that's what you should do. I don't do that.
All right.
I mean, he's making $13 million a year. I don't know what she's doing for work besides showing up for this podcast, so I'm not sure. But, you know, whatever.
But don't say it like that.
Yeah.
It makes you seem so shallow.
Yes, it does.
It makes you seem crazy. Like, what are you saying?
What's the next boyfriend like, right? He's like, I pay bills. Like, the next boyfriend just shows up and he's the guy who pays for everything?
I don't know.
But you
start from the beginning. Okay. And it's all about splitting. And I do think, and I always say it, when I started dating my husband, we were in college. We mm-hmm. were young and broke. But I always split everything with him 50-50. And it wasn't because I felt like, do I look like the kind of woman this or that?
Yeah.
It was because I never wanted him to expect anything from me.
Right.
And I always believed that...
when you met him, you were like, I have butterflies, I'm going to marry this guy.
I knew I was going to marry him.
Yeah.
But I wanted
But don't
him,
you expect anything,
don't
Paul.
Don't think that we're kissing tonight. I just met you.
Did you kiss him the first night you guys went out?
Yes. But it wasn't because we split that dinner. It was because I was in head over heels in love with him. That's why. Now...
But he can't buy you. Okay.
No.
All right.
Listen, he has to pay for me now for the rest of his life. So it all worked out in the end.
Yeah.
But for the years that we dated, we split everything. Even when we moved in together before mm-hmm. we got married, we split everything. And now all our money goes into the same pot. Like, there's no separation.
Yeah.
But, you know, going back to the first date thing, which comes up a lot, especially now when women are asking men out for the first time or whatever your situation is. Mm. If you're going out with somebody for the first time, what is your protocol on who pays? You go on a first date with somebody. Who is picking up the check? This has been trending because Kayla Nicole, Travis Kelce's ex-girlfriend, said this when it was rumored that he was cheap and didn't pay for her.
But I think that to each his own. If people like to split their bills with their man, I think that that's what you should do. I don't do that.
She said, look at me. I don't split bills. And I was like, whoa, all right, lady.
I don't know what she does for gainful employment, but obviously Travis Kelce was doing pretty well when they were together.
Mm-hmm. But like, you're going out with somebody for the first time. One of them is not an NFL player that makes $14 million a year. Who's paying the bill? Is there like a protocol you use? 1-800-330-9999. Missy.
I'm a girly girl, so I think that if you ask me out, then you should pay.
Well, interesting that you should bring the ask me out. So if you just meet somebody randomly and you go out where they didn't specifically ask you out, do you still assume they're going to pay?
As long as he's a man, he's paying.
Okay.
Well, it's pretty cut and dry.
Thanks, Missy. Lisa, what do you think? Should couples just split the bill the first time they go out?
Well, I think for me, the protocol should be that, well, for straight couples at least, that the woman should pay just as much as the man, because what the woman is just as good as the man, oftentimes even better. Mm-hmm. And the woman shouldn't give the man power of paying the bill and thinking he's going to get something out of it.
I mean, you sound like a great woman. Would you like to buy me dinner, however? Because you are so great and powerful, just buy all of it.
If it's vegan friendly.
Oh, no, never mind. Nope. I'll pay my own way and have this cheeseburger over here. I don't want to rub it in your face or anything. I just want to eat it.
Fair.
All right. Chris, you're on a first date. Who should pick up the bill? Is there a protocol that you use?
The rule that I kind of use is whoever's idea the date was, that's who pays, right? So most of the time I'm the guy, I ask someone out, I'm willing to kind of pony up and pay for the bill. But, you know, if someone, I'm at work and a girl comes up to me, she's like, I like you, I'd like to, then I think she should pick up the bill. If it's her idea to take me out, then I think she's got to see it all the way through.
I agree with that.
Bella, you're going on a first date. Are you splitting the bill? Who's paying?
I'll be completely honest. I have never paid the bill on a first date. The man always offers.
And you always like, say yes?
I mean, are you going to say no to a free meal?
Yes. I have many, many times.
Have you?
Yes. Well, I mean, like when I was a teenager and dating, I always paid. You know, I always paid.
Oh, I never went on a date as a teenager, though. I'm in a date like now in my like in my 20s, 30s. To be completely honest, I'm all like I've never thought about this before, but I tend to date men that typically make more money than me.
Mm-hmm. Do you
like not on purpose?
She's like, I've never thought of this before.
Yeah.
But I'm hot. And I'm going on a date, and they're going to buy.
If you know that you don't like that guy and you're not going out on a second date with him, you still let him pick up the check and don't offer to pay half?
If it's a really bad date, and here's the thing. I've definitely gone on dates before and been the one to pay or, like, you know, split the check. It's usually not a first date. Usually the guy likes to kind of, like you can see it. He likes to, like, flex his muscles. And I've had it where I've tried to, like, genuinely try to pay for it, and they've, like, the guy, you could tell, like, it's like I took the wind out of his sails. It's like he was, like, emasculated or something. It was so weird. So, like, it's like if they offer me to pay, sure. But, like, when they do the, no, I've got it, I learned to just, like, bat my eyelashes and say thank you and just be grateful for it.
That's one way to go about it. Congratulations to South Burlington, Vermont. It was just named the safest city in the U.S. in 2024. Now, here to brag about this, how incredible his city is South Burlington, Vermont City Councilor and Vice Chair Andrew Chalnick. Hi, Andrew. How are you?
Hey, Anna. I'm doing great. Thanks so much for inviting me on your show.
Andrew, welcome. What is the thing that makes your town so awesome?
Well, I don't even know where to start. For 2 years in a row, we were also named one of the best places in the U.S. to live.
Wow.
There's look, the natural beauty here is outstanding. If you've been to Vermont, you know we've got rolling hills and beautiful fields and forests. And South Burlington is sandwiched between Lake Champlain on the west, the Green Mountains to the east. You know, it's just, it's stunning,
not,
you know,
too
visually.
Shabby.
Not too shabby. And we're really lucky. Like, the voters in the city really appreciate that. We've got a conservation fund. And we've conserved like half of the city for, you know, just great access to the outdoors. And we also have to be really close to an international airport. We've got great shopping, restaurants, vibrant nightlife. So it's just, you know, the physical nature of this place is really great. With all that, the best part of this city is the community. We've got a community that's really kind, really caring, really civil, and there's just really a lot going on, and it just makes for a really vibrant place.
Oh, wait, hold on. Can I stop you right there, Andrew?
Because Andrew's announcing his run for president.
Well, right.
Isn't he doing that right now? Is that what's happening here? Because this sounds idyllic.
Because when they were listing the reason why they chose South Burlington, Vermont, as one of the safest cities in the U.S., and if you're just joining us, we have city councilor and vice chair of South Burlington, Andrew Chalnick, joining us. It said one of the top-selling things was the city of 20,000 has the lowest pedestrian death rate in the country. And
well,
I was wondering, how many people keep getting hit by cars, and how do you prevent your people from getting hit by cars?
Don't
bikes?
Cross the street.
Yeah,
don't ever do it.
Look, you know what? I'll tell you. We've got a great staff and a really good Department of Public Works. So we've got, like I said, dozens of miles of off-road, biking, pedestrian, like we call shared use paths, you know, sidewalks everywhere. People are mindful. We've got these flashing beacons on crosswalks, and lots of people are out biking and walking. And, you know, it's really interesting. When I moved to Vermont about 10 years ago, I like to ride my bike on the road. And when you bike on the road in Vermont, people come up from behind you and wait in their car to look at you. You look at them, you wave them past, and then they go past. No, it's really amazing.
Yeah.
There's just so much courtesy and respect. It all, you know, produces safety, and then it builds numbers, right? Critical mass.
Well, speaking of safety, also what makes South Burlington, Vermont, one of the safest cities, well, the safest city in the U.S., is that the crime is so low. So how do you keep the bad guys out? Is there a gate?
Fair question.
You know, I got to give a lot of credit to our police chief, Chief Burke. And that leadership, you know, filters down to the entire department. It's a police force that is welcoming to the community. They're visible, but they're not heavy-handed. And we have virtually no person-on-person crime.
It sounds beautiful.
Before we go, look, I want to make a pitch. I really do want to make a pitch for our climate action plan. All new construction in South Burlington needs to be effectively net zero. It's all electric. It's all renewable. Our local grid is renewable. There's a lot of solar going on. All new commercial buildings are required to have solar on the roofs, and all new residential units now are going to have new EV-ready parking spaces for every unit. You don't need fossil fuels. You really can get this done, and it makes the whole community stronger.
Beautiful.
I mean, I want to go to that farmer's market. I'm sold.
Come on over. Hey, look me up, and we'll hang out. I'll show you around.
Andrew Chalnick, city councilor and vice chair of the number one safest city in the U.S., South Burlington, Vermont. Congratulations again, Andrew. What is the October theory, and why is everybody talking about it, even though it's the middle of October? Well, Raven, it's just one of the things that are trending today, because even though it's middle of October, this usually starts around October 1st, and it's not new. It started last year when a TikToker said this.
My theory is that October 1st makes people feel the same way that January 1st does, like New Year's, in the sense of everyone's trying to get their life together. See on the calendar that October 1st is coming up, and they're like, I need to make changes. I have only a few months left in the year. And they start like making plans of what they want to accomplish by the end of the year.
Kind of makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. It's like when you hit October 1st, all of a sudden you realize you had a lot of goals for your year, and you only have 3 months left. You got October, November, December. There's 3 months. That's it. And on top of the fact that you only have 3 months to make all these dreams come true, these big lofty goals that you had 9 months ago.
The holidays are coming up, so people are going to be seeing like family members and friends. So naturally, like everyone wants to look good for these parties, and everyone wants to get in shape and represent.
You know what? I mean, I'll add a couple things to that. I mean, number one, you're set into your schedule at that point, right? So after, you know, summer break, you go back. September, everybody knows it's super busy for everybody as they kind of go back into form. By October, you've got a handle on that, right? So now it's time to reassess and then, you know, relook up your goals. Plus, the other thing is, you know, with the holidays, it's the trigger with the household, too. It's all those things. The visitors are coming, all that. It's not just physical.
What is it about the holidays that makes everything so? It's like,
we got to show off. We got to look perfect.
It's joyful, but it's also stressful. This was a real thing I said to my husband last night. If we don't have that bookcase up by Christmas, I'm going to be very upset. Like, what am I talking about? Well, why? Why is Christmas the deadline for us to find a bookcase for our family room? It's been a year and a half I've been looking for this bookcase.
Yeah, where's the books?
Like, I mean, I don't even have any books.
Right.
I don't, I got rid of all the books when I moved.
You just need to put something there to fill the space.
Exactly.
Right. It's a crazy thing.
It's funny because all of a sudden you realize the end of the year is looming and all the things that you were hoping that you would succeed at or you would accomplish at this point, it's like the mad dash. And even gyms are saying this is a busy month for them because everybody's trying to get back into shape.
Well,
I guess to lose the 5 pounds they're going to gain over the holiday? I don't know.
I mean, again, the stresses that you put on yourself, right? And we do, you know, there is one thing is that all the conversations you had last year where you say, well, we're going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that you're going to have to stare that same person in the face. And you say, oh, well, what didn't, you know, what happened and what didn't happen?
Also trending, what if the Super Bowl was not in the United States? I don't know why this got me so upset, but the NFL is considering having the Super Bowl outside of the country because saying that they're outlining a plan. And right now they could be playing 16 international games a year if the regular season expands to 18 games. And he said that it's likely Ireland is going to host a game soon. He wants to bring a game to Asia as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that there's a chance that one day the Super Bowl will not be held in America and it'll be held overseas.
Well, I hope I'm gone. I mean, if I could be as honest as possible about that, it's like, listen, I love the games overseas. They have not bothered me at all. I actually think it's kind of fun. And now that they've added some more like Germany and whatnot, it's cool to see these other places. They're going to be playing at Wembley Stadium for the first time ever coming up next week. They were in London for the second time so far this season, just this past weekend. I enjoy the foreign games. Mexico City, always fun.
Yeah,
Arizona, San Francisco, the Raiders, we go down there often.
Whatever. But like, think about it. Your dream is to go to the Super Bowl. It's hard enough to go to the Super Bowl in America. Now I got to find a way to go to Paraguay? That doesn't make sense.
Not even as a consumer. It's just that it's an American sport brand born here and celebrated here as, you know, the biggest watching viewing day in all of America.
I can't imagine that that's a real thing that's going to happen. But, okay.
Pay enough, right?
They did it again. Kind of. You know, The Simpsons have had another prediction from their show come true. Now, it's 35 seasons they've been having the show, and it seems like every few months you'll be like, Simpsons did it again. They made a prediction that's come true. This time, Raven, it has to do with white parties. This is Mr. Burns.
Great Gatsby, what is that? Oh, it's a white party. Just the kind I used to throw. Whoever is throwing this magnificent to-do knows how to enjoy their wealth.
And then Homer and Mr. Burns go upstairs to see who is the hidden figure who's behind all of this that nobody seems to know anything about.
Yeah.
And it's not P. Diddy, but it's somebody that really looks a whole lot like P. Diddy. Yeah. And then, of course, there's this.
Baby oil.
Right. So let me... I don't think it had anything to do with anything, but just...
Wow, okay.
And there's Marge. Yeah.
And that was the same episode? Is that's just her saying baby oil?
No, that's just Marge saying baby oil.
Well, thanks. But it seems... is a nice addition.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, here's the thing. 35 years, they've been on. I don't know how many episodes they do per season, but I think it's a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that seems like a whole lot of swings, right? So you're doing a lot of shows. So inevitably, some stuff is going to come true, right? You say something in joke or jest, where there's smoke, there's fire, Anna Zapp.
Kind of. In 2000, an episode, which is considered widely one of the biggest predictions of all time, Lisa Simpson is now president, and she explains why the country has no money.
Well, we've inherited quite a budget crunch from President Trump.
What?
We're broke.
The country is broke.
Yep. She predicts that President Trump will be president one day. This is like 20 years before it actually happened.
Yeah.
Other things they've predicted. Season 6, they predicted smartwatches.
Okay.
Siegfried and Roy, when they had that tiger attack, they predicted that in season 5. U.S. winning gold in curling. That was season 21. And finally, The Simpsons producers, it's a lot like what you said, how they predict the future. His name is Matt Selman. And he told People magazine that if you say enough crazy things,
right,
some of them are going to overlap with reality.
Inevitably, some will come true.
And that's the math part.
Yeah.
And they said that the writers study past foolishness to anticipate the future, and the rest is just dumb luck.
I don't know how much of that I actually believe, right? I mean, I think they probably have a basic knowledge. I don't think they're going into the library or they're, you know, consulting historians or whatever to go, hey, this, that, or whatever. But common pop culture, these are smart people. They pay attention to what's going on. They're older at this point, so they work those jokes back in. It's like everything comes in circles.
Yeah, but do you believe it? Like, especially when it's this time of year before an election, there's all the astronomers and the people that can predict the future, and they start coming out of the woodwork, and they've predicted the last 10 out of the last 11.
Yeah.
Have you ever actually predicted something and it came true? Legitimately came true? What was it? 1-800-330-9999. Keith.
You know, I was a kid when the iPod first came out, and so when I would hang out with my friends, we would always pretend that our, like, iPod Nanos or iPod Shuffle, that they were phones, that we could talk to each other, like, through the phone on the iPod. And then, you know, I grew up a little bit, and they came out with the iPhone. Mm-hmm. It's $1 trillion idea, yeah. And I came up with it when I was a little kid.
You didn't get any money for it.
And Star Trek came up with it in 1977, but still, pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, I never predicted that we would have these small computers in our hands that were also phones.
Yeah, no, I didn't think about it like that.
No.
You know, I thought that maybe someday, but probably not in my lifetime. I didn't think of that like that. I thought of computers and stuff like that as more like toys, less like tools.
Mm.
Seems silly now, right?
Once again, The Simpsons are being credited with predicting P. Diddy and his white parties and his baby oil and the whole thing.
I feel like if you were paying attention, it wasn't hard to miss the signs. But nobody said anything till now, so kudos to them.
So The Simpsons producer says that it's really a combination of math and history. When they're writing the plot lines, they try to figure out what crazy things they can say and how is it going to overlap with reality. And that's how they continue to do this.
I mean, they've done a whole lot of shows. Sooner or later, you're going to hit on some stuff.
Mm-hmm. Just dumb luck. But did you ever actually predict something and it came true? 1-800-330-9999. Greg?
So when I was a kid, I was probably 12 or so, and Derek Jeter was still in the Yankees, and he had 2,999 hits. I'm watching the game, and I said, what if he hits a home run right now? And sure enough, within two pitches, he hit the home run.
Bing.
Dang, you predicted it.
Yeah.
If only you had time to place a bet.
Yep.
Right.
You'd be a rich person right now.
I was going to say, my first thought was, you know, when you predict something like that and you're at a poker table, it can be a little bit more lucrative for you.
Mm-hmm.
But still a great feeling when your team hits it.
Yeah.
Well done, Greg. Yeah, well done.
He did it.
Yeah.
I mean, he had hit a lot before that, but right.
That was the one that counted.
Yeah, you had some information to go on, but.
Yeah, Rachel, what did you predict?
Oh, my God, how many predictions have I made? But one was I definitely predicted the birth of several different babies for different people. And I guess the craziest one, and I have proof for everything, is I'm a massage therapist and I'm an empath. So I was working with a patient and I started talking to her dog, and I told her I knew when the dog was going to pass away, and it just recently happened, and that was pretty crazy.
Wait a minute. You were talking to her dog?
I know. I have proof. I've got proof. I've got phone numbers. I have thousands of hours and patients. But yes, I was working with the woman, and I guess I'm psychic, and I saw the woman's father, and then that was all fine. And then when I was leaving, I started getting communication from her dog, Poppy, which I knew nothing about. And I explained to her the situation, and she was just like, wow. And then the dog told me, I'm an old man, you know, I'm not going to be around much longer. And we gave it till, I said the summer, and boom. I mean, the dog recently had just passed, and it was insane. So I had the whole experience. I've had with this family, I've had many different experiences.
Uh-huh.
So that all happened. As we're walking out, the dog was going crazy.
Yeah.
It was barking and barking and barking. And I'm like, what is going on here? And then I swear on my son, what happened was is the dog started telling me that it was afraid of her husband's blue truck because what happened was is when he was rescued, which, again, I know nothing about the dog yet, that the man who had him, he was malnutrition, and he used to beat him. So every time he sees the truck, he gets nervous. And I said to the woman, I'm like, is this a rescue? And, you know, she said, yes. And I said, this, that, and that. How do you know that? I'm like, you're not going to believe this, but the dog is telling me. And and then, you know, she goes, well, what can I do? I go, well, the dog's saying that he's not going to be around much longer. He'll just deal with it. He's an old man. And then she told me, you know, the dog was older and a little bit. And I said, yeah, he's not going to be around. You know, I give it till about the summer. So I'm telling you, like, I have proof of everything.
Yeah, no, I believe you,
Rachel. Well, give me the dog's cell phone number.
It's crazy.
Right. I mean, like, no.
But this is
What couple?
I don't want to keep dealing with my sister and all of the drama it's causing.
Isn't that the stupidest thing you ever heard?
One problem.
To name the baby Clifford and demand that we change our dog's name.
You decide the outcome.
Yeah, thank you. I love the audience for that.
Will be a fun story, hopefully, to us in a few years.
It's Couple Score on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day, a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. A Couple's Court is powered by T-Mobile. Head to T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on iPhone 16 Pro. Selma and Alec. Selma, let's start with you.
Well, so the thing is that Alec, my husband, is working a lot lately, and I completely understand that he wants to make extra money, but in the process of doing so, he's not spending enough time with the family, and I honestly think that's more important than the money.
Alec, what's the story? I think I can guess, but...
I've taken on extra hours, you know, sacrifice and that I feel would be worth it. We were struggling. I'm just doing my best, you know, because I want to take vacation and really give my kids a better life.
I mean, financial struggles happen in every family. So, I mean, you know, sacrificing today for tomorrow is kind of the same thing as sacrificing tomorrow for today, right? Like, I mean, it's just a different version of the same plan. Obviously, you have to take care of your family. Nurturing that emotionally and financially, sometimes they don't always line up. So, I mean, what is it you would want him to do, Selma? Take less hours, spend more time at home, and then what? You incur more debt? What's that scenario like?
Not go on vacations? You know?
I understand that he wants to work both days of the weekend, but I mean, even if like he could make a compromise or something and just work one weekend day and not both weekend days, like just to have a little bit of extra time. I mean, obviously neither is ideal, but even if he just worked one and not the other, I mean, that would be better than nothing, I guess.
You know, this is a temporary thing. And so I'm really just trying to take advantage of the extra hours to gain the extra income. Because it could change at any moment. So this is a great opportunity to maximize, you know, to get some stability.
That's the thing about overtime, right? It comes, it goes, you know, the ebbs and flows of business. Sometimes it feels like it goes on forever. And then other times you're just like, man, I'd really like to have that money back. There's no question.
I am an advocate of working as much as you can, make as much money as you can while you can.
When you can, right.
Absolutely. So I've certainly been in a position where I'm working on weekends at my dad's restaurant to make the extra money. So I understand where you're coming from, Alec. Selma, you don't think it's important to be financially stable now while you can be?
It's not that. It's not that I don't think it's important. It's just that, you know, at the same time, we are not promised tomorrow. And right now, we have a time in our lives where we can be together with our kids and just really getting the most out of things. Just him being away, even if it's temporary, like we're not promised the future. And his dad is ill right now, and he's not able to devote as much time to his dad when he's working like this.
Well, I mean, one thing I do know is that no matter how much money you're making, there's always somebody that you're going to owe something to. So I don't know. I'm not sure who's right.
Ultimately, what it comes down to is, do you think Alec should be taking all this extra time at work to make extra cash while he can? Meanwhile, he's missing out time with his kids and his wife.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couple's Court.
What do you do when you're working so much extra, right, that you're making the extra cash, but you're not really spending time with family? That's what's going on with Selma and Alec, because Selma is really upset. Her husband, Alec, has been taking so many extra weekend shifts that he's just never home anymore with her and the kids.
Listen, they got three kids, right? There's a whole lot of bills to pay. And Alec points out the fact that he's like, we got things that we need to do. I'm trying to make a better life for all of us. Ends haven't been meeting. I've got this opportunity to make this overtime right now. I don't love it, but we need the cash.
Especially because he doesn't know if it's temporary. He's like, I got to take all the hours while I can. But she says, kids haven't seen you in weeks. Like, there has to be some priority of family over making money. But what do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Rich, whose side are you on?
Well, you know, I tell you, I go through the same thing myself. I work 6-7 days a week, most weeks, just to save up a little bit extra here and there. So, I mean, you know, you got to do what you got to do. If you want to have it pay off in the future, then you have to do what you can. And, you know, it's tough to split responsibilities, but if I'm making the money and it's going for a good thing for all of us to be together and make more memories, then, you know, that's what we got to do. And they just have to figure out a way to find time to spend with the kids. But also, you know, she can't be upset that he's out there working for her and for the family.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. What do you do when one spouse is picking up as many extra shifts as he can possibly get to make extra cash, and the other is just sad and resentful that he's not home with the kids? It's exactly what's going on with Selma and Alec.
Selma and Alec have three kids, and ends haven't been meeting, that at least according to Alec and both Selma. They acknowledge the fact that finances are a real strain in their household. So Alec has been working Saturdays and Sundays for the last few weeks, and he doesn't know how long it's going to go on, but he plans to keep doing it. Selma says, you can't.
Says never home with the kids. It's more important than money. But is it? What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Jeff, whose side are you on?
That's a rough one. You gotta, you know, you gotta have balance, though. You can't just work forever. You know, been stuck doing that too. Kids gotta know your name, you know.
The two biggest stresses in my life are, of course, when you're fighting or in a disagreement with your partner, and finances, right? And it's just, it's a sick state of affairs. It's the irony of life, I guess, is that, you know, most of our arguments are about finances, right? Like, I mean, that's how a lot of people are. The stressors are financial.
It just seems like it's hard to find a balance, because it's like when you're working too much, then you're missing out on the family time. And then there's always the, well, you don't know how much time you have left with your family. You have to take advantage of that. But then when you're broke,
right,
you're just
can't do anything with your family anyway.
Right.
Bye.
Hey, Laura, what do you think?
I'm on her side, you know, speaking from personal experience. You know, you end up feeling like a single parent on the weekends, and then she's asking for help. She's asking for him to be there, and he's not listening to her. He's not there, and that could only have a negative result in the end.
Hey, Lindsay, what do you think? Whose side are you on today?
I am on her side. There's always more money. There's never more time. And what happens is when someone is working that much, they're exhausted. So then the time they are spending with their family usually is not quality time because they're so tired.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Selma, our audience agreed with you today. You got to take advantage of having time with the kids. If the kids are missing you, just work one day. There needs to be some kind of compromise to make sure that everybody's getting your time, because time is the one thing you can't get back, right?
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, all that is true, of course. But, Alec, I sympathize with you because, you know, I'm not sure that you can explain enough to other people what the pressures are that you feel inside yourself to make sure that you're providing for your family now and for the future. For us to tell you how to feel about that doesn't feel fair. But at the very least, right now, the voters are telling you how to schedule around that, which is you got to give up some of that time and make sure that you're spending enough time with your loved ones.
Yeah, man, I can see where they're you know, coming from, and I really, really do love my kids and enjoy each and every moment that I spend with them. I can come to terms with that. I can come to terms with that.
It's always tough, you know. It's definitely a burden, obviously, and feeling that financial strain is nothing that I know anybody who's ever been through it is envious of. So I wish you guys luck.
If you have a problem, too, send an email, couplescore@annonraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $100 thanks to Leaf Filter. Protect your home and never clean out gutters again with Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system. All right, Nancy, ready to go?
Sure.
Let's do this. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, you know what to do. Please leave the room.
Oh, good luck, Nancy.
Okay. All right. All right, get out of here. All right. So Raven's walking out. That big studio door is going to close. He won't be able to hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. Nancy, I'm going to ask you five pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. He'll come back in, get the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. Ready to play?
Yes.
Number one, the Wiggles just went country. They got a new truck, and in true country fashion, they wrote a song about it. The Wiggles are from what country/continent?
Australia.
Number two, the 80s cartoon Voltron is finally being turned into a live-action movie. All we know so far is that Henry Cavill will star in it. He played what superhero?
The Wasp.
Number three, Jelly Roll is getting ready to open his own bar in Nashville and will join many other country superstars that have them. Only two female artists have bars in Nashville, Miranda Lambert, and the other bar is called Bell Bottoms Up. Who owns that?
Dolly Parton.
Number four, Terrifier 3 wins at the box office in the Battle of Killer Clowns. What's the other clown movie that was competing against that and had a huge week 2 drop in sales?
I don't remember.
And number five, The Wicked is coming to movie theaters this Thanksgiving. It's going to star Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande. What was the name of the Disney's 1985 sequel to The Wizard of Oz?
Over the Rainbow?
All right, let me bring Raven back in. Only one for Nancy.
Not great. Let's see how I do.
All right. Number one, The Wiggles just went country. They got a new truck, and in true country fashion, they wrote a song about it. The Wiggles are from what country / continent?
From Australia.
That's right. You guys are tied at one. Number two, the 80s cartoon Voltron is finally being turned into a live-action movie.
Yes! I'm so glad. I thought this was the internet fooling me at first when I heard this.
All we know so far is that Henry Cavill will star in it. He played what superhero?
He was Superman, but is he going to be the Red Lion or the Black Lion?
Number three, Jelly Roll is getting ready to open his own bar in Nashville, and he will join many other country superstars that have him.
Get that money.
Only two female artists have bars in Nashville, Miranda Lambert and the bar that's called Bell Bottoms Up. Who owns that?
Take a shot. Say that's Lainey Wilson.
It sure is. Number four, Terrifier 3 wins at the box office in the Battle of the Killer Clowns.
It's crazy.
What's the other clown movie that it was competing against that had a huge week two drop in sales?
Joker yes. 2.
And number five, the film adaptation of the music Wicked will hit theaters on Thanksgiving, starring Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande.
Mm-hmm.
What was the name of the 1985 Disney sequel to The Wizard of Oz?
Oh, there was two. There's two names that come to mind. So was it Return of Oz or... The Land of Oz. Return to Oz?
Return to Oz is right.
Yeah!
All right, let's see. Nancy, he beat you 5-1 today. That's going to get you an Ann on Raven t-shirt.
This is Nancy, and I can't beat Raven today.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $200 tomorrow, Anna.